Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is another episode of Sports Elite. Today is March 16th, 2017, and today we got another great show, another good episode is coming on. We have a special guest tonight. It's a guy. He's a local guy for us in Richmond, Virginia, and his name is Coach Reggie Shipp Sr., and he has so much stuff going on. He's a phenomenal gentleman, and we're going to have him come talk to us about his life, things that he does in the city to help our youth, our men, our women. He's just an all-around good man, and he does a lot of good things for the city, and he should be recognized, okay? So we're just going to go ahead and get to that real quick, and we're going to talk about him and everything that he does. Also, those of you who watch me on Facebook Live, who's watching me live on Twitter and Instagram, make sure y'all call into the show and ask this brother anything that you want to ask him. That number to call us is 646-668-8467. Again, that's 646-668-8467. And also, if you want to leave a comment or your questions for him, go ahead and comment, all right? Comment all your questions for him, and I'll read it to him, and he can be able to give his answer, all right? So let's go ahead and bring on Coach Shipp on the line. Coach Shipp, are you there?
What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
I am doing excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the show this week. I appreciate that. We're just going to go ahead and get started into everything, jump right on in. We're not going to take too much of your time, but we got some people already want to know, can you play? from my Facebook Live feed, they want to know, can you play?
That's the first question. That's an understatement. Even at 43, I'm better than a 21-year-old. So come on, I do what I do on the field. I'm just gonna put it like that. And I'm gonna leave that one alone.
All right, this sounds good. So let's go ahead and start up. Let's start up when you was a kid. Tell us what was your childhood like playing sports?
It was for me. It was intriguing for me because playing sports was easy. For some reason, even as a kid, it was easy for me. I had a high learning curve, so I was able to pick up concepts and grasp every position mm-hmm. that I played very well and quickly. So it was fun. When I started out playing sports, I would say at 6 years old, I was new to the game of football. I got introduced to the game of football by a gentleman here in the city of Richmond by the name of Ellery Lundy. He was older than myself at the time. I think Ellery was maybe about 12, something like that, somewhere up in there. I don't want to tell his age because he's old. he saw me on the playground. I went up to the school. He saw me on the playground, and they were out there having rec league practice, mm-hmm. and he called me over, and the rest is history. I was a very interesting character as a player. I was quiet off the field, but on the field, you put the ball in my hands, it was something totally different. It was a totally different atmosphere for me. Yeah, I played angry. I was an angry kid because of the circumstances that I had going on in my life. So I played the game angry.
So that was your outlet. When you was on the field, you let out your frustrations or whatever you had going on in your life out there.
Everything.
It's not like they can do anything to you but give you a flag, you know, if you smack a guy helmet around, you know, out there on the field. As you transitioned from your childhood years to high school football, now, how did that transition go for you at the high school level?
At the high school level, I didn't have much difficulties because I worked harder than most of the guys that I played with in my city.
Mm-hmm.
I started out high school ball down here. I went to Meadowbrook. I played JV ball at Meadowbrook, and it was easy for me at Meadowbrook. I just didn't like the politics of Chesterfield County schools. I was a running back. You know, I started out as a running back at Meadowbrook, and then I transitioned over to a DB at Meadowbrook. I was better than DBs that were around me, but because I didn't grow up in the Chesterfield County system, they didn't mm-hmm. allow me to start. That was my first experience never starting. After that, then I moved to – I went to Huguenot. I went to Huguenot for a year. After I left Meadowbrook halfway through the semester. Ended up going to Huguenot High School, but I came into Huguenot too late. Coach McPhee wanted me to come in as a quarterback.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah, he wanted me to come in as a quarterback because, I mean, outside of Jerry German, who was the top sprinter in the state, and he played ball at Huguenot, mm-hmm. I was right there with him neck and neck running, foot speed. So they wanted me to come in at Huguenot and play quarterback. But then after that, you know, I came in too late. After that, I left Huguenot and went back home to D.C. and graduated from Dunbar High School where, you know, my accolades at Dunbar speak for itself.
Okay. Okay. He's from, hey, you DC guys is watching us right now. He graduated from Dunbar. I know some of y'all went to Dunbar, Mr. Majette. Okay. So did you go to the college level? How was it there at that level for you for football?
It was a learning curve. It was a learning curve for me at the college level. I got an opportunity to go to the University of Michigan. That's where I really, really experienced the politics side of football, the money side of football. And when I say the money side, you know, if you want a big and you weren't that top tier guy that they coveted very well, then you won't get in that shine. If you want on ESPN or, well, did we have ESPN back then? I don't know, 6, 8, 12. NBC, ABC, Fox.
Yes, it's 8-12.
You know, back then, if you weren't that guy, you weren't that Heisman candidate guy, you weren't the end-all, be-all,
uh-huh.
I mean, it was like sitting really wait your turn. I wasn't used to that.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't used to that. So it was a heck of a transition for me from going from a baller to a bench rider. And I'm like, whoa.
That had to hurt.
This ain't what I'm like, hey,
used
this ain't
to
what I,
just riding the time when they're playing sports, you know.
Right.
That has to hurt
I
just sitting there passing out water, being that chill guy on the sideline.
Oh, no, I ain't passing out no water. Let's not get that part twisted. I didn't pass out no water. But no, all jokes aside, no. It was a heck of an experience for me. It hurt my pride a little bit. It didn't stop me from working hard at the same time, but I knew after my sophomore season that I was going to forego my scholarship because I was already on the dean's list anyway my freshman and sophomore year, so I knew that I was able to get an academic scholarship. So I ended up finishing up at Michigan under an academic scholarship.
Okay, an academic. Okay, you hear that? You young athletes that's watching right now, Johnny Dawkins, you hear what he said? Academics. He was on the dean's list at the University of Michigan. He's finished out academically. You can still do it regardless if you on the sports side or the academic side, because guess what? You're going to still graduate with that degree, a degree from Michigan out of all schools.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard. It was hard to do because, you know, I was a football guy, but I still worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I still worked out with the players, I still did what I had to do to work, continue to work on my craft because I wanted my aspirations were still to go to the next level. So, you know, I just couldn't do it at that time because I also had some things that I had to come back home and deal with during the summer after my sophomore year, you know, some life changes within my family. I ain't had no kids, but it was some things going on within my family that I had to personally deal with, and it kind of, it hindered me from doing a couple other things, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about the football aspect of it right now.
Yep. All right, so your career after Michigan, what was the next step for you? Where did you get to go back to and play football on another professional level or indoor level?
Well, actually what a lot of people don't realize is I ended up getting an opportunity to come in as a free agent. I had a free agent workout with Dallas. And my favorite team. I had a free agent workout with Dallas, and they invited me into camp. And, because I was consistent, but I wasn't that prototypical defensive back, running back, wide receiver type of guy. I was an athlete. Mm-hmm. I was able to play multiple positions, but they just didn't have room for me. They didn't have room for me. It became a numbers game. Back then, I was running 4.340.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Back then. Yeah. I mean, I was one of the top sprinters coming out of high school. But, it was okay. It was a great experience because I got an opportunity to meet Emmitt. I got an opportunity to meet a lot of great NFL players. And to be able to be in camp with those guys, it was just – a great overall experience. It made me even more hungry because I learned a lot, not even just from the players, but I learned a lot from the coaches because I would want to sit in after meetings and really pick the coaches' brains apart to try to figure out why they do the things that they do, what make them make the certain play calls, how do they scheme games, and how do they establish the plays that they're creating and with what mindset. So I became more and more of a student of the game, even though I learned that aspect of it in high school because I was sitting in meetings with my coaches and what have you and learn.
Okay. So your time, in camp with the Cowboys, I said the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, for all the Cowboys fans who's watching this right now. During that time, how structured was the camp there for you, like the difference? From all the how structured was it pro?
It was very structured. I mean, everything was pinpoint accuracy on time. If you're a minute late, then you're getting fined. I mean, it was very structured. Again, I didn't have a contract, so I had to be on time. I had to be on time. And when they welcomed me in, they brought me in. It was like, look, you're a free agent guy. You really don't have no opportunity to be on the team, so we're gonna let you work and see what you do. That's how it was back then. They were like, look, come on in, we're gonna see what you're gonna do, and that's it. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, then good luck to you and continue on with your career, keep working on your craft.
Okay.
So again, I further learned more about the business aspect of it.
The business aspect of it. And what I've learned, the business aspect of it can be a nasty thing, but it's like that's like the business aspect before. And Brian Brown has a question for you right now. I can answer that. He was at the Dallas Cowboys camp. Oh, he wants to know what year were you there?
That was in 94-95.
A lot of these guys are impressed, especially Johnny Dawkins. They're impressed with your resume so far. I appreciate y'all guys for giving him his kudos. All right, so did they give you even a chance to go to the preseason game?
No, I didn't even make it to that. It was invite came during mini camp.
Oh, mini. Okay,
My invite came during mini camp. So I didn't even get on the roster. I barely walked out there with a t-shirt and some shorts.
Okay, but there's not many people that can say they got invited to go play in camp for a chance to even get on a roster or for their favorite football team. Like, who can say that for real? Not your everyday guy. So with that being said, now, did you get to go to any other NFL team or that was the only NFL team?
Well, I got invited to Atlanta. Same type of setup, and that didn't work out. My mental at that time was, F you, I'm gonna make you recognize me. And I think I pissed off some people with that attitude. Because I got kind of disrespectful with one of the coaches. So
okay.
You know, he got in my face and, you know, he basically belittled me like I was trash, and I'm like, look, if I had a big name, you wouldn't be saying nothing to me. So we kind of agreed to disagree, and they let me go. They told me that, hey, you know, that night it was like, look, Chip, you know, we appreciate it, you know, but this ain't the place for you. I'm like, cool, okay, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that was it. Okay, all right. So after Atlanta, when did you get to go to the next team where they actually signed you? Who's the first one that gave you that first break that said, yes, I want you?
The Albany Firebirds of the Arena League back up in Albany, New York. I went to – they gave me an opportunity to come into a free agent workout up in Schenectady, New York, right outside of Albany. And I blew them away. I told them, I said, look, because I messed up my shoulder lifting. And I told them, I said, look, I'm not doing the bench press. Not that I'm weak, I said, but I tore my shoulder up, so it wouldn't be fair. So I went in and ran my 40. I ran a 40 at a 4.31. They were impressed. I killed it in the short shuttle. I killed it in the L drill. My vertical was 36 inches, so I could get up.
Wow.
And
okay.
When it came down to locking down six, they had three receivers that they were returning back to their team. One was 6'3", and when I jammed him into the wall so hard that he bounced off the wall.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I locked him up, and the coach said, we want to see you after practice. Where the hell are you from?
Mm-hmm.
And at Coach Daly, his name is Coach Daly, and Coach Daly, I talked to Coach Daly, and I found out that Coach Daly played with one of my older cousins, Jackie Shipp, who played with the Miami Dolphins and went to the University of Oklahoma, was a standout and All-American at the University of Oklahoma. And we sat down and we talked, and he was like, look, what you trying to do? I said, look, show me the money.
Hey,
that was my
and I bet he showed you the money, huh?
You know, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't playing in the AFL back then. You know, it wasn't NFL money, but it was enough. It was enough to say, hey, I was a pro ball player, and you know, I played one season with them. I played half a season with them, because at one of the practices, someone left the arena or rink door open, because you know, in indoors you play in pretty much like a hockey rink. And somebody left the practice door, the door open, and I came down and I almost shattered my ankle.
Oh.
So, and then in arena ball, it's you week to week in arena ball. So because I was injured, they let me go.
They let me go.
Yeah.
That's the rusty side of the business there, ladies and gentlemen. Because of an injury, they let them go. So let's move into the now here. The coaching, you know, and your team that you're the owner of, the Capital City Reapers. When did that come to fruition for you for the first time?
Last year I was coaching developmental ball here in the city of Richmond, and, you know, things kind of went sour with the ownership. And at the end of the season, you know, we had took the guys to a conference championship game. And we lost. And at that point, I'll be very honest with everyone that's listening right now, my love for the game had diminished to a certain extent because of the constant politics of the game and a lot of the behind-the-scenes BS that fans don't get to see that go on. So I dealt with a lot of that, and I decided at that point that I was actually going to retire. But a lot of people don't know that. Only people that know that were my players and my staff. I said I was going to retire and that I was done with football, that I was going to focus on other aspects of life. But because of my players that I had on my roster, they were like, look, coach, they called my phone for like at least 2-3 weeks straight. Like, mm-hmm. coach, look, we can't let you go out like that. We can't end our season like that. We can't come this close and be this close to winning a championship for all of us to call it quits and then we not have anywhere else to go. That's when the Reapers came about.
Okay.
That's when the Reapers came about. I sat down to talk to him.
I said, so you founded the Reapers, and now they have
back in July. Back in July.
Okay.
Yep.
Back in July. Okay. And so now you're the guy that's owning the team and you're coaching. So you're seeing both sides. The business owner side of it, as with the Jerry Jones side and the Jason Garrett side. You're both in one.
Hold up, coach. Don't ever compare me to Jason Garrett because I love my Cowboys, but I'll never. You can compare me to Jimmy Johnson, but Jason Garrett, no.
Okay, Jimmy
Johnson.
Okay, I'm sorry. Jimmy Johnson. But you're juggling both hats. Isn't that difficult for you?
It's quite difficult. It's quite difficult because, you know, being the owner of the team, I have to make sure that every finite detail of this organization is locked solid and tight from every aspect, from the people that's going to be passing out the water at the games, from the facility, from the banners, from the business cards, to the website, to my coaches' uniforms, to my players' uniforms, to the development and design of all of our graphics and marketing and all of that I have to personally deal with. Even though I have a staff, but I still have to make sure that at the end of the day that the details are tightly taken care of, and I have to make sure that that is done. And then I have to change hats. I have to flip it to come and get into coaching mode. And that's the easy part because that comes second nature.
Uh-huh.
That comes second nature through repetition. You know, when you're passionate about something, you just do it without even a thought. The business side, I have to think.
Okay. And so the business side is what you really, really learn and get your foot, you know, your foot into it so you won't have to think about it then. Because it seems like me seeing you work and everything that you do, you make me exhausted just by watching and I'm not even doing, you know. It's like, wow, when do you sleep?
I don't.
When do you sleep?
I don't.
And mind you know, your husband, your father, how do you balance all of that, being a coach and an owner and family life? Because it has to be a balance somewhere.
I'll be honest. My balance comes sporadically. It mm-hmm. comes at the end of the season, when the season is done. My family knows, you know, that at the end of the day, when it all is said and done, I'm mm-hmm. passionate about people. I'm passionate about giving back. I'm passionate about the game of football because it gave me so much. It gave me opportunities to be where I'm at, to learn the things that I've learned, to be able to, let's be real, I mean, you have to be a team player in order to play sports. It helped me be able to develop the skills to deal with people on a daily basis of all different ethnicities, race, attitude, creed, whatever. It taught me how to deal with them. Because you're talking about a kid that came from, you know, Jackson Ward Projects here in the city of Richmond, outside Richmond and Southeast D.C. That's three projects I grew up in.
Yep. Whole 3, whole 1. Yep.
Exactly. So it was for me dealing with other cultures was a culture shock to a certain extent.
Wow.
And playing football, it taught me how to deal with others that weren't like me.
And that's what I've learned as well in sports, because when you're on a team, you can have people from all different backgrounds. You know, they were mm-hmm. raised differently. you know, and then you have to come together with this person and become a team and work together for one common goal, and that's to win that game, to get to the playoffs, and to win the ultimate goal, a championship. And that's the thing I think is so beautiful about sports. It brings so many people together from so many different avenues to make a beautiful song. Just like your Reapers, tell us more about the team, you know, the different backgrounds that you have on this team right now that you know, that you're coaching this year. Even your coaches.
Oh, wow.
Hall of everybody.
Yeah. You know, I'll start from the top. I'll start from the top. You know, my director of operations, Joseph Robinson, he's from Richmond. He went to Verona High School. He initially started out playing for me back in 2007, 2008, when I had a semi-pro team. And, you know, Joe got injured, and it took him away from football itself. But Joe has a lot of great ideas and thoughts. He's very organized. He handles business well. So I brought him in with very little experience from a football operational standpoint to help run the organization. He's learning. And I'm teaching, he's learning, and he's helping organize and all that good stuff. Okay, passing by Joe. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about my coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
I have Antoine Williams as our offensive coordinator. He played standout at Virginia State. He was in camp with the Jets, with the New York Jets. He's played arena ball for several pro-level teams and was a standout doing that. This is really his first opportunity as far as the coaching aspect of it. He's transitioning from player to coach.
Okay.
From an arena standpoint. He coached with me last year. He was on my staff last year as the assistant offense coordinator and wide receiver coach. Now he's the head guy for the offense. So that's his background. Then I have Coach Terry Hayes. He coached outdoor ball. He's a semi-pro coach. He coached high school. And some college. Now this is his second opportunity to coach indoor ball as well. He coaches with the Virginia Titans here in the city of Richmond, a semi-pro team that plays during the summer. And you know, he's great as well. His resume is extensive, and him and Antoine work well together. Then I have Coach Mack. Coach McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Mack was actually my coach.
Okay. Okay. Old school then.
Yeah. Coach Mack was one of my coaches during my semi-pro time semi-pro career here in the city of Richmond. And, you know, he has an extensive background on the arena level. He's coached several championship teams on the arena level as a defensive coordinator. He's now – you know, working with me and assisting me on the defensive side of the ball here with the Reapers. And I'm going to get to my favorite coach of all, Coach Holloway.
Yes, sir.
Very enthusiastic young lady. This is the first time that a female has stepped into the arena football era here in the city of Richmond. I'm excited to have you. You're picking up everything that we're putting down. The guys respect you a lot. It's different for them. It's not different for me because I've had the opportunity and blessed opportunity to coach with the wonderful female coach up in Pennsylvania by the name of Coach Ellie Locus. Shout out Coach Locus and the Lehigh Valley Steelhawks of the NAL. I'm sorry, not NAFL, NAL. Shout out to her. And, you know, we put out the call for female coaches. And you answered that call, so I'm excited to have you. It's a difference. It's a difference now. I see in the locker room. It's a difference on the field of that practice, and I see the way the guys respect you and respond to you. So I thank you for that. Now down to the players. Man, look, it's a plethora of players that we have. We have some that have very little experience, like a Joe Sod. Joe Sod, this is his first time playing football since he played in high school. He was offensive lineman at James River High School. So we're excited about Joe and the things that he brings to the table, raw talent, enthusiastic and eager to please. He's picking up the game well. Then we have veterans like Tunde Ogun. Tunde played over in Europe. He played in Europe as well. So we have guys like that. We have guys that have played indoor ball before, like Raleigh Green, plays wide receiver for us. And you got guys that have went to small schools like the Apprentice School. We have Lank Brown, who's our anchor on our offensive line, and Ty Washington, who is one of my returning linebackers. Yes, we call him the Predator.
I like that. Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's returning as well. So, you know, we have a lot of talent. You know, Jamal Street at quarterback. He's played some pro level arena ball down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And you know, we got all kinds of guys. We got white guys, we got black guys, we got Arab guys, we got you name it. Tall, short, big, small. We have it all on our roster. Good thing about it is all of these guys have come together as a family within a two-month period of time, and they've gelled, they've gotten that camaraderie, and they've become a team real quick. So I'm thankful for that. So
they have energy about them. That if they keep coming together, you know, get that mixture just right and that pressure just right, they can be something special this season. That I don't think they see it, you know. Some of them may see it, but I see it in a lot of them. You know, that hunger, that thrill to want to go. Because as you say, the reason why y'all here is to develop you, get your tape, and get you out of here to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
A lot of them, if they can take that and use that as a fuel for their fire, you know, for their hunger, they have the opportunity to get up out of here because of the scouts that you got coming in that you've lined up. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Chip, he works very hard. When he says that he's going to do for his players, his coaches, or anybody, he does it. Like, we're being watched by a lot of different scouts from
CFL, AFL,
everywhere.
You know, you name it, they're looking at us.
They're coming. So what do you see this organization, your organization, in 5 years? Where do you see it? What level do you want to be at?
I see us actually changing over to the pro level, playing at the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or if Richmond decides to build a better venue, then we'll be playing there. But I don't see being a developmental team for long. That's okay. The goal. Five years. We're gonna be in our own facility, and we're gonna be on a pro level. We'll still have the Reapers developmental level to continue to grow guys and develop guys. But at the end of the day, within the next 5 years, I want to take over the city of Richmond. I want the organization to be a mainstay here because I noticed that coming from growing up here, a lot of teams. Sports franchises-wise, whether it's basketball, hockey, arena football, whatever the sport was outside of NASCAR and VCU and the Braves and now the Squirrels, everyone else has left the city.
Yep.
Everyone
Even
else has come and gone.
Renegade.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then they were the Mud Ducks or Mud Dogs or something after that, but
yep,
they left
gone.
Too.
And they gone. Mm-hmm.
Right. So
you're preaching the truth.
It's about establishing something here for the long haul. And here's one thing that kind of rung real loud for me was when I first announced the Reapers, everyone came to me and said, Coach, why don't you put them in the Coliseum? And here's one thing that stood out and I want to reiterate is you can open up a business and jump out the window trying to give all the bells and whistles and please everybody, but put yourself in a hole at the same time. And one thing that I didn't want to do was establish the Reapers and jump out there big, real big the first year, and then when it comes to go around for the second year, there's nothing left for expectation.
Yep.
I wanted to leave something for expectation and leave room for growth within the organization. It's easy to go pay $15,000 to play a game at the Coliseum. That's easy. But will you have that $15,000 worth of fans at that game to continue to sustain being able to pay that kind of money to play at the Coliseum and survive?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So essentially it's about, for me and this organization, the growth of this organization, it's about this community, being able to be a mainstay for this community, not just for sports, but this community who needs what we do. And they need us for the long haul, not for a short-term fix. Because it brings football and sports, period, brings communities together. That's one. You forget about all your cares in your neighborhood, all the bills that were late, all the child support that wasn't paid, your boss ticking you off today. You forget about that when you come to a game because you're excited. It brings the excitement. It brings the energy. It brings the families together. It brings different communities that wouldn't normally hang out together. It brings them together just for those 2 to 3 hours. So that's exciting. That's exciting.
It
that's
is
what
exciting.
It's all about.
Oh, yeah, that's exciting. That makes me excited. And then also you're mentoring in our community as well, right, with the men's group that you're a part of, correct?
Yes. We're, myself, I don't like to talk about me much. I really hate it. But I'm working with the Broken Men's Foundation, with Mr. Ellery Lundy and his staff. I'm working also with We Care RVA, C.J. Richardson and his staff, to bring about change here in the city of Richmond, to bring about a major change. Things have gone status quo for a lot of years, and our inner cities here in the city of Richmond has suffered from that status quo. And it's about getting back to the root, the core root of what it's meant to be about. And it's meant to be about the people. It's meant to be about the youth. You know, right now, Richmond has a high crime rate as far as murders and homicide. And it hasn't been like that since the 80s, early 90s, where Richmond was one of the considered the murder capital of the United States. At one point, a lot of people don't remember that, but I'm 43.
Sure,
I remember it. So it's slowly creeping back to that point, and we have to find some sort of commonality and happy medium to bring everybody together to stop all of this negative stuff that's going on. That's why the Reapers will be out in Jeb Stuart Elementary School. We'll be over at Henderson Middle School. We'll be over at John Marshall High School, mentoring these kids in conflict resolution, in resume building, in different aspects of community service. We'll be mentoring them and helping them focus also not just on those things, but the educational piece of it. The educational piece of it. Because our inner cities are struggling from that. Yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling with that.
Oh, yeah. Literacy is a whole big part of it as well. And then, you know, giving them the opportunity just so they can at least have a chance to be great at whatever aspirations that they have in life, our young men and our young women, because they need it right now. This is the perfect time right now, especially with, like you said, everything going on. Reach out, touch them. You just may need to have a conversation with one of these kids, and that can turn their whole life around.
Exactly.
Somebody did it for me when I was their age. And
somebody
I started off quite
me.
Great. And that, you know.
Yeah, somebody did it for me. So it's nothing to give back. It just takes a minute. It just takes a minute. It takes a minute and understanding. That's all.
That's it. So with that being said, we have a few questions for you. We have a gentleman on Twitter, and his handle is SpeakSports433. He wants to know, what are your plans to coach in women's sports?
What are my plans to coach in women's sports? I'm actually right now the PA announcer for the Richmond Black Widows, who is a women's team, outdoor team here in the city of Richmond. And as far as women's sports are concerned, by the year, I say 2019, 2020, I intend on bringing women's indoor football to the city of Richmond and establishing an actual women's and women's league in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what my intentions are. I mentor women athletes, female athletes every day. I've had several female athletes that I've helped transition from basketball and track to playing in the LFL, which is the I forgot what they call it now, but it used to be the Lingerie Football League.
The women's indoor pro.
Yeah. So I've mentored a lot of those women and helped them get to that level as well. So it's definitely something that I'm involved in, and the growth of women's sports, and especially women in football.
All right. And we got another question for one of our viewers on Twitter. And her name is Sports_Lady7. And she says, Coach Shipp, you sound very interesting. Will you be willing to allow your players to come to my school and talk to my class? That is awesome.
What school? Where? let us know.
We need all your information. Just inbox me your information of your class and where it's at, and I'll get it on over there to Coach Shipp, and we'll see if he can make that happen. Hopefully, you're in the local area, so we can make that happen for you. Thank you so much for your question. She says she will get that information to me. Okay. We have another question for you, Coach. And I can't make this name out. I don't know what this is. I'm sorry. But he says, do you ever see yourself coaching at a higher level other than developmental football?
Well, I've actually coached on the pro level of arena football. I coached with the York Capitals of the AIF in 2015, and it was very exciting for me. We went undefeated and won a championship in 2015 under the York Capitals banner and AIF. So I've been on the next level, and it may be another opportunity right around the corner. I just can't say anything just yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have one. This is going to be a good one. This one is from Barbara Turner. And she says, Coach Shipp, is winning everything? Of course, winning is everything. But Coach Shipp, can you answer Ms. Turner's question? That's by the way of Facebook.
Hell yes, it's everything, but it's not the only thing. Let me go ahead and say that. Winning is everything, but winning is not everything. Even when you lose, you win. And I say that because losing teaches you how to deal with adversity, how to keep learning, how to continue to perfect your craft and to get better so you can get to that point where you are winning on a regular basis. That's my response.
All right. We got another question coming up for you. This is from Melvin. Melvin says, you said earlier that you went to camp for the Cowboys and that was your favorite team. If the rival Redskins asked you to come to the camp, would you have went?
I just would have had a Cowboys compression shirt on up under my Redskin gear. That's all.
All right. I understand. I tell people this all the time. In sports, the money talks to a lot of these players, and you know they don't care if a team is given a contract. They got families to feed. They got to eat. Me, if the Redskins gave me one, I can't stand the Redskins. Y'all know how much I clown them. But if they gave me a contract and said, come on up here and just coach or do pass, I'm signing. You know,
Hey,
it's an opportunity to get your foot in the door. You know, you never know, you know, where it may take off from there. Okay, we got Johnny Dawkins.
What's going on, Mr. Douglas JD?
He says he's good. He says, I would like to come to the games, but would it be Johnny? You gotta make your words. You know, sentence your structure. Your word. Sentence. I can't even talk. You gotta structure your sentence a little bit better. But I think you say you live in North Carolina. You would like to come to the games. No, can Coach Shipp come down? Okay, he wants you to come down and speak with his group.
Oh wow.
Coach.
Wow. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Just let me know what time, where I need to be, and matter of fact, just here's my email address, info.ccreapers@gmail.com. Email me the information, and I'll let you know what it would take to get me down there, and we'll negotiate and talk about it from there.
All right, are you here, that Johnny? You hear that, sports lady? Email him info.ccreapers. He said .com.
@gmail.com.
Email him @gmail.com. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. @gmail.com, and you email him all the information, and y'all can negotiate. And that way, Reapers can come talk to your class. Coach Shipp can come down there, Johnny, and talk to your organization. It's all about growth and development of players. You never know what things will lead. Okay. Right now, before we let Coach Shipp go, did anybody else have any other questions, comments, or concerns for him before we go ahead and end this for tonight? And I see we got a lot of questions pop up for Coach Shipp. So I'm going to start off with the first one. Just keep them coming in, ladies and gentlemen. Keep them coming in. We're going to take some more questions for y'all. On Twitter, we have the Twitter handle, @Kate.BenHot. She says, Coach Shipp, if you're going to start a women's indoor team, as you said, are you going to have it all female staff, or are you going to mix it up?
I'm actually going to mix it up. That gives a greater dynamic of it. There aren't many females or women coaches that are in arena football, so it would be unfair to put a totally female staff together, because all of them essentially at that point would be learning the game together, and when you have the coaches learning the game, how can they teach the players the game if they don't really know the game? So I would definitely mix and mingle the staff.
All right. Hopefully that answers your question for you, K.BenHot. All right. We got another question for you, Coach Shipp, from Twitter. The Twitter handle is iBreedSports473. And they say, what is your mentality when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, since that's where you played at, when it comes to schemes?
What is my mentality?
When it comes to schemes.
Hey,
I guess it all depends on what kind of scheme it is.
Shut down everything and kill anything moving. I can leave it at that.
All right. Hopefully that answers your question. Thank you so much for joining us, Jen, Rachel, Gabrielle. Okay, so the next question for you we have is coming from Watch Me Work 3. And he says, Coach Shipp, this sentence structure is wild, okay. Coach Shipp, it's a lot of typos. Coach Shipp, if you had a son, I think that's son. I'm sorry if I mess up your question. If you had a son, knowing the risk factors of football and CTE, would you allow him to play?
Yes.
Question.
Yes. I'll be very honest. I'm a victim of post concussion, and I played ball. For me, I couldn't. I couldn't watch the movie Concussion without crying, because I'm in that situation. I've been down that road and going down that road at the same time, if you know what I mean. But here is my thing. I do have a son. My son is 4. And when it comes to teaching him about the game, I'm going to teach him the right way and be cautious of how he plays the game the right way, if you understand where I'm going with that. I'm going to teach him how to understand the limits without limitations when it comes to his body. Know when enough is enough, and know how to shut it down. Be like, you know what? I ain't Superman. I'm not Superman. Because my thing was, like I just said, shut down everything and kill anything moving. That was my mentality. And I've had that mentality even as a wide receiver and a running back. I was 5'8", 5'9", 180, 190 pounds at running back and at defensive back, going against 245-pound fullbacks coming from wide receiver crackback and on 250-pound linebackers, but I was leaving my feet because I had that Napoleon mentality. If you're bigger than me, I wanted to knock your head off. So a lot of my concussions were self-inflicted. So I would teach my son how not to be reckless and to play with more intelligence in the game. So hopefully that answers the question.
Okay. All right. So we have another. I'm going to take another question from y'all from Twitter. I'm just picking them because there's a lot of y'all that's tweeting us. This one is – it's a Cowboys fan, so – give it to Cowboys. This one is from Dallas CB771. He says, Coach Shipp, if you was to hold your fantasy tryouts of your favorite players coming up, who would it be?
Of my favorite players coming up?
Who would it be? Wow, okay.
I would definitely have Deshaun Watkins as my quarterback. I would go with the running back from LSU.
Okay.
I would definitely go with Moss from Washington. I would definitely go with Mike Clemson, wide receiver, Mike Williams.
South Carolina.
I can't help but, you know, I'm a Michigan man, so I can't help but to go with Jabril Peppers, Mr. Everything. I'll take the safety from Ohio State, I can't even believe I said that out of my mouth. Wow. Wow. It's the D-line from Alabama.
They're nasty and they're big and they can play.
The entire D-line from Alabama. The outside linebacker from Bama. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on. We could sit here until tomorrow if I had to pick up a fantasy, you know,
talk about
fantasy trial of all players. Yeah. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. So hopefully that was enough for you.
All right. And so we got a call coming in. We'll go ahead and take this call real quick. Somebody want to call and talk to Coach Shipp. Caller, you on the line. Talk to me.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
What's your name?
Damien.
What's up, Damien? How you doing? You got any questions for our guest tonight, Coach Shipp? Any questions for him?
Yeah, Coach Shipp, I have one question that's related to the CTE because that actually did catch my attention. I know you're just a coach, but like, why do you think that, you know, these CTE developments weren't brought to the public eye mainstream wise until like later a few years ago?
Let's be real. The NFL is big business. It's big business, big business for a lot of corporations. It's big business for the teams. It's big business for the players. that's just the tip of the iceberg. Even cities, the cities that they're housed in, is big business for them. So to have a scandal or an issue like CTE and the investigations and all of the procedures and things like that and the deaths and the cause of it to come out, it would have cost a lot of people a lot of money. Even though right now the NFL is dealing with the settlement, but you think about it back then, it would have cost so much more money than it is right now. And it would have tainted the image of football in the United States. And, you know, the United States is so wishy-washy when it comes to judgment of situations, people, things, that I honestly think that the NFL wouldn't have been able to sustain if that would have happened. It wouldn't have. Everybody would have been playing lacrosse or football or soccer, something. But they wouldn't have been playing football.
So hopefully I've answered your question.
Yeah. Wow, I like that answer. That's definitely a valid answer. Definitely.
Thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate you calling in.
No problem.
All right, Dane. Well, I thank you so much for supporting and calling in and talking to us tonight. Hopefully you can call in next week and talk to us again.
No problem. Have a good night, y'all.
You
all
too,
right,
sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
All right. We're going to take two more questions for Coach Shipp, and then we're going to let him go ahead with his night. And we're going to take this question, and this one's coming in from CT Denver 3. On Instagram. I've switched over to our Instagram account now to get those questions in. And he says, Coach Shipp, if you don't mind me asking, if you were to try to play in the game today, which wide receiver in the NFL do you think that you could cover one-on-one?
Julio Jones.
Ooh.
If I was in the league today, I would lock up Julio Jones. He's big, he's physical, he's fast. But with my knowledge that I have now of the game, my understanding of leverage, my understanding of technique, my understanding of route combinations, my understanding of how to read what we call in the football world my keys, I would be able to lock him up. He might catch the jump ball. He might. But he has to hope I don't use the little nuances that I know about the game to keep him from throwing his arms up there to go get it.
Julio Jones. He's a good receiver, too. I mean,
he's a great receiver.
You can lock him up. So you're kind of like a Josh Norman or something.
Oh no, lock him up. Never compare me to Josh Norman. Josh Norman is a system cornerback who's normally used to playing a cover two defense. I'm not a system corner. You can put me in coverage, man to man, or you can put me in a zone coverage. You can even blitz me if you wanted to. So Josh Norman, no, thank you.
He says he's an interchangeable piece. He his own Allen. We can call him Coach Shipp Allen because he can do it all. All right, last question. This is coming from Instagram account Les B Friends. And they say, Coach Shipp, do you ever think that you could coach a women's and men's team at the same time? Wow. That's tough.
You can't coach them at the same time. It would have to be different seasons. One would have to be during the regular arena season, during the spring going into the summer. Now, if it were something that may have started up in, say, August, going from August to December, then, yeah, I could do it. It was you know, it's something that I've done as far as with coaching wise from a men's perspective. I've gone straight from arena season straight into semi-pro outdoor season. So it's taxing on the body though. Let's be real with that. Is even as a coach, it's taxing on the body and taxing on the mind because of the stress levels that you go through coaching, even playing. Your mind when it comes to football isn't meant to go 12 months out of the year. It's not because of the stress that comes from it.
Yeah, stressful, and that causes a lot of health problems. That's pretty tough. Yep. But thank you so much for your questions for Coach Shipp. Thank you so much to Coach Shipp for coming on the show, telling us about the Reapers. And then before we let you go, please tell everybody where they can come and watch the Reapers. And all the information they need to get all the gear, Reapers, everything.
You guys, matter of fact, we kick off our season this weekend, March 18th, 1 p.m., doors open. Kickoff is at 2 o'clock. You better get there at 1:30 because you're going to miss the entrance. We're playing at XL Sports World, 2300 Oak Lake Boulevard, Midlothian, Virginia, 23112. Tickets are $10 for adults. Make it very affordable for you in these trying times of our economy. $10 for adults, $5 for kids under 13 and under. And then you have our season passes. You can purchase our season passes online at www.capcityreapers.com. $40 for a season pass, and you're guaranteed 6 regular season home games. For $40, that's saving yourself $20 by purchasing a season pass, and you're guaranteed to catch the regular season games at home. Again, we're playing at XL Sports World, 2300 Oak Lake Boulevard. www.capcityreapers.com is our website. You can go on there, purchase T-shirts, replica jerseys, game balls, our flag, our team flag that you can fly at your home. Whatever you need, it's on that website. Information about the players, the coaching staff, our sponsors. Make sure you definitely take a look at our sponsors because this is not my show. I'm not going to give our sponsors out. But, you know, this is Coach Tay's show, so I'm not going to shout out our sponsors on her show unless given permission. So
you go ahead.
Definitely want to thank Mr. Ricky McNeil, Realtor Extraordinaire, Virginia Capital Realty, Brenda over at Brick House Cardio in Mechanicsville, Virginia, Johnson's Bail Bonding, CJ Johnson. If you ever get in a pinch and you need your feet to be on the ground, make sure you contact Johnson's Bail Bonding. Our graphics designer and uniform distributor, shout out to James Crowell with Cap City Designs up in Northern Virginia. Our print ad, definitely want to shout them out. Faith Printing, Dave, shout out Dave. Sean Lloyd with Diamond Resort International, he sponsored our coaches' gear. Am I forgetting anybody? God's Gift Entertainment out of Orlando, Florida, shout out to the crew down there in Orlando, Orange County, shout out. Am I forgetting anybody? Mako did all of our helmets, our color schemes for our helmets, they did them all. Shout out to our league, the MAIFL, Rich Guy, Matthew Steeple. They run the league, the founder and the president of the league. Shout out to those guys and all the other teams. Shout out to you guys. We're going to whoop y'all, but, hey, shout out to you guys anyway. Thank you. Special thank you to Coach Tay for allowing me to come on to the show, to be a part of what you guys are doing. I support you all the way, Coach Tay, and we love you. Reaper Nation.
Reaper Nation, that's right. Y'all come on out. Y'all come on out. Y'all get to see Coach Shipp in person. Go up to him and tell him he cannot lock down Julio Jones when y'all see him. All right? Thank y'all so much for tuning in. And y'all tune in next week for another special guest at the same time, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right? Check us out next week. Peace.
Tapeworm Customs is a company that does it all, from design services to home improvements to vehicle customization, all at great prices and payment options. Call now for your free estimate. 248-595-6618, 248-595-6618, or online at facebook.com/bigwormcustoms.